Our next presentation is entitled The CC Threads Within ISO 19790. From Signicom, please welcome Dayanandini Pathmanathan and Ian Holness.
Thank you, Jason. So a little bit of...
You're going to have to do it that way.
Okay. Thanks, Jason. So a little bit of introduction from both of us. Go ahead.
Sure. Good afternoon. Everyone still awake? No sleep comas? Good. My name is Ian Holness. It's been a good couple decades now in the information security field. My perspective for today comes from being an evaluator, having worked in two labs, currently actually happily ensconced at Signicom. I have worked both the lab and vendor side of the field. So some of the discussions we have on a daily basis come from that.
My name is Dayanandini Pathmanathan. Currently I work with Ian as a common criteria evaluator with Signicom Solutions. Prior to that, I worked as a FIBS evaluator at CSC Lab. So a little bit of introduction about our lab. We'll start the presentation. So in this presentation, we'll first examine a brief outline about the lab. We'll get into the differences and common ground for FIBS and CC. Give an overview of ISO 19790 and look at the areas of the standard that draw upon common criteria. Briefly look at other national and industry schemes that use the standard ISO 19790 or FIBS. So, Signicom Solutions Lab. We are an accredited FIBS and Common Criteria lab. Our evaluators have extensive experience providing evaluation work with various schemes, such as NIAP, NIST. We work with CSC as well as the Turkish scheme. We provide consultation services for both FIBS and Common Criteria, and in professional services, there's cloud services, PKI infrastructure and deployment, and we also work closely with U.S. federal agencies. CC within ISO 19790. You may think it's hiding in plain sight, but really it isn't. You just need to look carefully. If we look at the picture here, can you identify the creature?
Just shout it out.
It's a ptarmigan.
Whereabouts in the picture is a ptarmigan?
One-third up, one-third across.
Yep. I didn't see it at first either until I actually got the picture that showed me the circle where it was.
Okay. FIBS and CC, differences and common ground. The FIBS 140-2 standard is currently required by the U.S. and the Canadian governments. It's a joint program run by NIST and CSC. The FIBS standard is currently undergoing review with ISO 19790 poised to replace it. Common criteria is a separate international standard. While FIBS focuses on the cryptographic module, which is straightforward and simple. Common criteria examines the security functionality of the module and the process surrounding it. There is evidence and assessment overlap between the two. For the different EL levels in common criteria can increase the degree of the scrutiny applied in a particular area. More uncertainty will equal more scrutiny. Much of the evidence that's provided in FIBS is also needed in common criteria. Therefore, the FIBS lab staff will need to apply more scrutiny. So, what is the ISO 19790 standard? Created in 2005, it was created for other nations for use FIBS without an implied American bias. It has four levels, the same as FIBS 140-2. Majority of it's taken directly or reworded from FIDS and the associated implementation guidance. Implementation guidance assists for vendors and labs the different aspects of FIDS 140-2. Small amount of it comes from the common evaluation methodology, which actually dictates how common criteria evaluation should be carried out. The FIDS detailed test requirements dictates how labs should carry out FIDS validations, and was used as the core for ISO 24759, which dictates testing for the ISO 19790.
So I shall ask for a show of hands. Who in the room has actually had a good look at ISO 19790? A few people. Okay. So there are actually, as Randall Easter pointed out a day or so ago, there are actually two revisions of this document. The first one, when I first read through it, had a few very obvious CC references. And then when I was preparing for this talk, I was provided with the updated copy and realized, okay, what I'm looking at isn't actually correct anymore, but there's these other changes that have gone in that actually make sense as well. So this area is actually new for the FIPS world, whereas it isn't new for CC. So if you're not aware of it, that's a big reason why we're doing this today. So under lifecycle assurance, we have configuration management, which ties into the lifecycle support area of common criteria, delivery and operation, which also ties in that area. The development section of lifecycle assurance ties in the development class. And how many people have been involved with writing or evaluating functional specifications? Okay, so a few people understand the pain of that joy. And last but not least, and with a lot of effort in itself, is the vendor testing, which definitely applies to what I consider the fun part of CC work, which is testing in the lab. So all of these are found under Section 7.11, Lifecycle Assurance in ISO 19790. So when you look at the Lifecycle Assurance, there are in fact a pile of general evidence documents that are in fact needed for all levels of this area. This does conform, as everyone's very much so, to what you see in FIPS. So you have a security policy document, you have CM documentation, which naturally includes, for the vendor side of things, what systems are you using, what processes are involved. User and administrative documentation, which is, I have the module, how am I going to install it? A finite state model with a diagram that explains all possible states. And the neat twist with ISO 19790 is it talks about all functions and services that are available with a module. That has a neat little twist to it because it definitely makes the diagram more complex, and you've got to be aware of that. The hardware schematics with accompanying correspondence to the components that make up the module. The source code for the module with explanatory text. Most people are used to the idea of a snippet of source code being provided and an explanation for that. There's all change log for enhancements and bug fixes. So naturally, the enhancements are obvious parts. Bug fixes are the area you want to be sure of where is a module, in fact, working properly. Additional items, a list of all the development tools that are used. There actually is a part of CC that deals with that, the tools and technologies piece. That doesn't mention much. And an overall correspondence between the components, the security policy, and the FSM. So, under configuration management, these actually come directly out of ISO 19790. For levels 1 and 2, the vendor's got to provide the proof that they are actually using a CM system. It can't be a Hail Mary, yes, I'm doing it. You actually have to provide the evidence to that effect. In the CC world, we talk about a configuration item list being all the evidence of everything you provide. When it comes to FIPS, typically look at a bill of materials where all, once again, components going into the module are indicated. So in respect of ISO 19790, you're looking for the unique identifier for not just the module, but all the components are going to go, that are going to go into it. So if you have subcomponents, the documentation itself that's provided, all those pieces are identified. The CM system that the vendor uses tracks and maintains changes to the identification and version or revision of each of those configuration items throughout the module's life cycle. So you're keeping track of it from the point where it gets introduced to the point where ultimately it might be removed. Levels 3 and 4 talk about an automated CM system being used. This is the fun one where you get into the idea of you can't be putting something into the system unless it's been authorized. That doesn't mean that, for instance, any individual can go, okay, I'm just going to write my command now and pop it in there. It's got to go through a review process of some kind where somebody with the appropriate authority says, yes, I'll include that. And you have to have a trail to indicate that's been done. There are additional possibilities with common criteria as the level of scrutiny goes up that are possible. So not knowing entirely where CMVP is going to take their usage of ISO 19790, you could go as far as saying automatically generating the module itself from the source code all the way to the final. I can tell you from working in the vendors or in the vendor world, in a past life, I definitely was involved in the team that took the source code and built from straight raw overnight, and the next morning you've got a build of technology to be tested by. That obvious way, an easy way for configuration management to be involved. Another part of this includes the evidence to show that you've done this. So obvious things of screenshots and such, all that becomes relevant. In the past you never cared about it, now you do. So once again, actually I'm going to show of hands for people in the audience. Those who are doing FIPS, those who have been doing CC, okay, so a mixed bag, but some of you are getting the point then. So really you're seeing a convergence happening here, which I think it's actually a really good thing, a bit more requirement. So development, level one. The CM system must track all of the source code, so it's tracking everything going on. There are obvious systems out there. You can pay for them or use free ones, et cetera. Obvious ones, CVS, Git. Anyone still using ClearCase these days? And you have no clue what I'm talking about at that point, right? Oh, no, I see a grin. Okay, there we go. You just got rid of it. So, yes, they've been around. One of the things that is also required here, which has not changed, the need for the review of the source code, FSM, and any hardware schematics. So that's something the person in charge has to do. For levels 2 and 3, if you're going to use assembly language or microcode in your actual source, which does make sense, especially if you know an algorithm tweak that can be used, or for instance, if you actually have a hardware component into it, you're going to talk to it, you do have to include a rationale as to why you did it. I mean, pretty obvious perhaps. You can actually, for instance, given that it's annotated source code, you just put the paragraph in there, we're doing this because of this. That's a pretty straightforward deal. How many people have had a fun time reading source code and finding this? Who's had fun writing that? Aha, someone in the back. So yeah, reading that's important. When you've had the fun within a company of having to read through source code to find out what someone was doing, it gets challenging to figure out, looking at assembly code, what's going on here, because it can be crucial to understanding how to progress with these. For levels 3 and 4, you're looking at a functional specification and potentially going down to the point of subsystem design, which is really talking about the components that go into the module. For delivery and operation, Level one, classic one everyone's used to, the documentation to securely install, initialize, and start up the module. Levels 2 to 4 all point to having secure delivery procedures that ship the module to the customer. If when we're talking about a standalone module, be it software or hardware, you're looking in this case at detecting any tampering with a module. Now, there are classic ways of doing this, tamper-evident labels and such, sending serial numbers through email in advance, that sort of thing. These are all classic ways of dealing with it. It gets more complex, obviously, if you're going to actually combine it in to an existing product, i.e., as was mentioned, I believe it was yesterday, retrofitting a product with a crypto module to make sure it was clear. If you go to level 2 to 4 for that, you're going to have to be aware, you have to make sure you got it documented. With vendor testing, levels 1 and 2, we talk about test plans and test results. So it's not just a case of, I did this, I got a yes, it passed. It's also talking about the environment you set up for that test. So your test setup, what you're looking to see happen, what actually happened. You also want to look at order dependencies. If you have a batch of tests, and anyone who's played with scripting realizes if you have a scripted set of tests, you will see that sort of thing happen. You have to run tests 1 and 2 to get test 3, 4, 5 successful because you've got some dependencies in place. It also looks at automated security diagnostic tools. There are a variety out there. Do you look at those to check through your code to see if you're breaking any rules or not? Levels 3 and 4 don't just talk about the module, they're actually looking at low-level testing of the module. So you may be, in this case, looking seriously at functional testing component-wise. If you are used to having on-site testing done for FIPS, this is part of where that hat comes in. The classic case of you show up, they have a test harness ready to go, and you exercise things accordingly. I can't say if they're going to expand that to include do we test other things or not, but the point is, it is there. So, the challenge here, what creature would be in the picture? Anybody? This is harder. I like it. Absolutely no one? Come on. Whereabouts is it?
In the middle.
Yep. You have two trees that are pretty close by. Yep, it's right there. We had fun when we were test driving this presentation. We had fun with the entire lab, everyone trying to figure out where they were. So, the results of ISO 19790, incorporating FIP, incorporating common criteria, sorry, you're seeing a greater emphasis on the module's life cycle and the vendor's security development practices. So it's no longer we hope you're doing it right, it's a prove that you're doing it right sort of thing. CC world, long since used to this. This has been around since the early days. FIPS world, the vendors can't waffle this one or give you that queasy feeling on the lab side going, are they serious or are they doing this? You do require producing more evidence as a vendor. The lab personnel will be doing more analysis, and you're going to spend more time in the IoT phase, guaranteed. We end up with increased assurance that a module being validated is more robust, or if you've incorporated an existing module, the same thing applies, with greater security applied across its entire life cycle. One thing I didn't mention in here, which actually did pop up, is actually now an end of life portion as well. And in that category of things, which other schemes look at, which we'll get to in a moment, you do look at the idea of a module being decommissioned and disposed of appropriately. FIPS hasn't worried about that, CMB hasn't worried about that. There are other parts of the world, they do care about it. So that leads naturally into other schemes that are using either FIPS 140-2 or ISO 19790. National government schemes, the first two are pretty obvious. Our friends in Japan and Korea, and the folks in Brazil, they actually have their own cryptographic approval process. The Japanese and Koreans have both made use of ISO 19790. Thanks, Randy, by the way, for when they put that in place. In both cases, they use 19790 and 124759 as cornerstones of their evaluation process. The Japanese started theirs off in 2008. Koreans, I believe, at the same time. The Japanese have two labs in Tokyo and one lab in Madrid, of all things. Very good to see. And there's even a memorandum of understanding that actually exists now between JCMBP and CMBP. Koreans, for the Korean CMBP, you have to provide the FIPS evidence and repeat test activities. And especially for Korea, the testing must be done in their lab. So which means someone's going to have to be over there and you deal with the obvious communication. Two other countries that are involved with the ISO 19790, Spain and Turkey. With regards to Brazil's scheme, they certify chip cards, HSMs, tokens, and card readers. You have to have a FIPS validated module to walk in the front door. You also need to provide your evidence and repeat testing activities. A lab in Brazil does do most of the work, and they will come on site to your location to do further work to close things off. In the industry side of things, in France, one of the banking consortiums, Carte Bancaire, has their own scheme, Le Méthode d'Evaluation des Produits de Sécurité. By the way, and a lot of us actually do speak French in Ottawa, just so you know. So, for Carte Bancaire, you do have to have your FIPS validation to walk in the door. You've got to provide the FIPS evidence. There are requirements documents you can get a hold of. They aren't easily gotten a hold of, may I say. And some of the process information and documentation is not available even if you're the vendor trying to do the work. Because there is a lab in Caen, and that is in fact where they do the testing. The gotcha with Carte Bancaire's system as a banking payment scheme is your module cannot be standalone. You have to provide the information required to integrate your module into a solution for their system. And they also have strict controls over the module's lifespan. So in this case of things, ISO 19790 is doing a nice job of coming into that area. Lastly, we have PCI HSM standard by the PCI Security Standards Council. This standard also requires FIPS 140-2 to walk in the front door. In the case of how their system works, they're actually using EMV standards. So anyone who's had to deal with financial industry recognizes that the rules are a little bit different, makes things challenging. So there's a challenge with syncing, but nonetheless, you can't walk in that door to go into payments world unless you have FIPS in place. So in this presentation, what we've explored are the differences and commonalities between FIPS and common criteria. We've given you an overview of ISO 19790. We've looked at the areas of ISO 19790 that draw on common criteria. I love it, by the way. Good idea. That's not sucking up. That's unhonest. I'm glad to see it. And we've looked at a few other national and industry schemes that use either ISO 19790 or FIPS 140-2. I know there are others in the world. I just wanted to give you a taste of it. So, at this time, would there be any questions or comments? And I can tell you're all still awake because I've actually been looking at faces around the crowd, so. That's good. Thank you.
Thank you both.
okay with it. Do it this way.
Yes.
Oops. No worries.
All right. Thanks to all our speakers. This takes us into the break. And the next session is the summary panel discussion at 3:10. Have a great day.
Thank you.